Hello everybody, it's Mistol23 back in another video. Just as usual, I'm going to quickly check to make sure the sound is working on this video. Alright, the sound is working on this video. So, by the title of this video, what I mean by, how Roman Catholicism encourages immorality. And that has to do with the Roman Catholic teaching of salvation. What they teach is necessary for salvation and how they believe sin works. And the Roman Catholics divide sin into two categories. There's mortal sins and venial sins. Now, venial sins are minor sins. They're minor things that don't disobey the Ten Commandments and often aren't intentional, just things you do in your everyday life. While mortal sins in Roman Catholic theology are grave sins that disobey the Ten Commandments and are usually something that somebody does by their own will. They understand that they're doing wrong and they do it anyway. Roman Catholics believe that one can lose their salvation and that the only way they can maintain their salvation is by partaking of the sacraments and continuing in obedience to the commandments of God. So the purpose of this video is to explain, I guess, how exactly this works. And I've seen it with people I know who are Catholics. I live in Arizona, and the highest number of people who belong, the biggest religion in the state of Arizona is Roman Catholicism. There are Roman Catholic churches everywhere, as well as Mormon churches as well, but I'm not talking about Mormonism this video. I'm talking about Roman Catholicism. And I have a mother who was raised in Roman Catholicism. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people who are raised in Roman Catholicism, they have this attitude that when they go to church, they can just continuously take the sacraments and then they'll just be fine. So what Roman Catholicism teaches, I'm going to read from their catechism, so the Catechism of the Catholic Church, to explain exactly how this works. So it says in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 1416, communion with the body and blood of Christ increases the communicant's union with the Lord, forgives his venial sins, and preserves him from grave sins. Since receiving this sacrament strengthens the bond of charity between the communicant and Christ, it also reinforces the unity of the church as the mystical body of Christ. And then it also says in Article 980, it is through the sacrament of penance, which would be confession to a priest, that the baptized can be reconciled with God and with the church. Penance has rightly been called by the Holy Fathers a laborious kind of baptism. This sacrament of penance is necessary for salvation for those who have fallen after baptism, just as baptism is necessary for salvation for those who have not yet been reborn. And then it says in 1495, what did I just do? Okay, 1495 article. It says, only priests who have received the faculty of absolving from the authority of the church can forgive sins in the name of Christ. So they teach that when you go into the confessional booth in the Catholic Church, that priest has the authority to forgive sins. Now, that, of course, goes against the Bible, which says that only God can forgive sins. And then in 1496, it says, the spiritual effects of the sacrament of penance are reconciliation with God, by which the penitent recovers grace, reconciliation with the church, remission of the eternal punishment incurred by mortal sins, remission at least in part of temporal punishments resulting from sin, peace and serenity of conscience and spiritual isolation, and increase of spiritual strength for the Christian battle. So they teach that by taking the main two sacraments that have to do with remission of sins are the Eucharist, which would be taking the body and blood. They believe that they're literally eating the body and blood. So when they eat that little cracker, they drink that cup of wine, they believe that they're receiving Christ, and in doing so, that forgives their venial sins. But then they also believe that the sacrament of penance, if they perform that, will reconcile them with God. They believe that if they sin, if they commit a mortal sin, they will lose the grace that God has given to them, which they believe that comes through baptism. They don't believe in faith alone. They believe that they'll lose their grace, and that they will still face the eternal punishment. So here in Article 1496, it says that the sacrament of penance, what it does is that it remits the eternal punishment incurred by mortal sins. So they believe that if somebody is saved, if somebody has received justification because they believe it's by faith and baptism, they believe And once somebody is justified, they can fall and they can still go to hell after that if they commit a mortal sin. But the problem is that these Catholics, these Roman Catholics out there, what they do is that they go to church, and this is why the religion encourages this, that all they have to do is basically just take the Eucharist and confess to their priest, and they're fine. So they might live their life however they want throughout the week and think that there's nothing wrong with that, that there's no punishment for that, because they'll just go to church on Sunday, they'll take the Eucharist, so then all the minor sins that they've done can just be forgiven, and then the mortal sins will be forgiven if they do good works and confess to the priest and try to make up for that. They think that, well, it's just fine, because I'll just go to church anyway and get it all remitted. So that's kind of the Roman Catholic mindset. And if you talk to Roman Catholics, that's really how it is a lot of the time. And that's why a lot of Roman Catholic countries are very immoral. For example, some of the highest countries by alcohol consumption are Roman Catholics. There's also a lot of them on the highest list. You can look up the countries with the highest alcohol consumption. A lot of them are also Eastern Orthodox as well. For example, Ireland and Lithuania, those are both majority Catholic countries. They're on the top five of the most alcohol consumption per capita. And then just from a historical standpoint, the Crusades, for example. The Crusades were started when Pope Urban II, he delivered a sermon in which he said that everybody who goes on these Crusades, everybody who tries to reconquer the Holy Land, if they basically do what the church tells them to do, then they will have their sins remitted. And so they used that as a justification to go out and just commit as much immorality as they wanted to. For example, it wasn't just a war. They slaughtered people. There was massacres in the Rhineland. There was massacres in Jerusalem where it wasn't just they were just trying to take the city back. They just massacred innocent people. That's how the Crusades were. But then they thought, well, I'll be fine because my sins have been remitted. I have these indulgences. I'll just go to heaven anyway because I did what the Pope wanted me to do. So that's been the Roman Catholic mindset from all of history, that they just take these sacraments, they take these indulgences, they do what the church tells them to do, and they'll be fine, even if they commit the most horrible sins possible. So that's how Roman Catholicism encourages immorality. But for anybody out there who's watching this, who is a Roman Catholic or who knows a Roman Catholic, the unfortunate thing about that is that the Bible teaches that no matter what, any sin can send you to hell. And it's not they believe that they are saved by faith and baptism, but Roman Catholics are not saved because they're putting their trust in observance of the commandments and not in God alone, not in Christ alone and what he did on the cross. Now, the Bible says in James chapter 2, in verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." So what James is saying here is that it doesn't matter if you haven't committed one sin, but you've committed another sin. So if you're out there and you think, well, I haven't committed adultery, but you might have committed lying, you might have committed murder, you might have done something else wicked, whether it's in your heart or outwards. If you sin, it doesn't matter, well, I haven't done this sin, I haven't done that sin. Any sin is enough to send you to hell. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, it says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth the fire and brimstone. See, God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody who has achieved the standard of righteousness that God has set for heaven except for Jesus Christ himself, because the Bible says that he was tempted at all points like as we are, and yet without sin. The Bible teaches us that God demands perfect obedience, and yet nobody can have perfect obedience. So the only way to get saved from that, the only way to escape the punishment of hell, is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men, or none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through the church, it's not through Mary, it's not through the sacraments, it's through him. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, take me a minute to get there, this is kind of a small Bible, so it's difficult to find things. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So the Bible teaches that all the prophets, okay, it doesn't say some of the prophets, all the prophets even, give witness that whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches, based on the quotes from the catechism that I just read to you, that remission of sins comes about from all these sacraments, from the baptism, from the Eucharist, from penance. But the Bible teaches simply that remission of sins is by having faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, actually, I'll read from Ephesians chapter 1 first, because it's on the way there. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, it's through Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross that we have the forgiveness of sins, not through anything else. Now, the Bible teaches, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die in John chapter 11. It's not a matter of, well, I need to go and get baptized. I need to do these things. And if I fall, then I will lose my salvation. And then I need to go to church and I need to take these sacraments. Well, the Bible actually teaches, God said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember the verse that I just quoted just a couple seconds ago, I guess, John 11, 25 to 26. Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, if somebody has the grace of God, if they are just in God's eyes, and justification means you're just in God's eyes, so at one point you are viewed as a sinner, now he imputes Christ's righteousness onto you, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Once he imputes that righteousness onto you, you are saved, you are right in God's eyes. And the Bible says that God will never leave you nor forsake you. It teaches that we have everlasting life. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's present tense. So everybody who puts their trust in him and him alone as their savior, they have the gift of eternal life, which means it will never end. So Roman Catholicism, they have this hope that, well, it doesn't, I'll just continue to sin and I'll go to church and I'll be okay. Well, the problem is that they're not even saved in the first place, because they are trusting in their selves. They're trusting in their own works. And the book of Galatians says, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So everybody out there who thinks that they're saved by the works of the law, by obeying the commandments of God, who think that their obedience to the Ten Commandments or their disobedience has something to do with their salvation, everybody out there who's trusting in that, what they do, the Bible says that they're fallen from grace. So people who think out there that they have the grace of God, but they are trusting in their own works or trusting in their own obedience and not in the obedience of what Christ did, the fact that these people are the Roman Catholics are trusting in themselves shows that they're not saved. And if you're out there and you're Roman Catholic, I advise that you get saved. Just trust in Jesus Christ and don't stop trusting in baptism and all these other things, which are not, according to the Bible, not how you get saved. And I could go deep into this right now. I'm kind of just speaking out of my mind right now. I don't really have a script or anything for this video. It was kind of something that came to my mind earlier today, something that I thought about how Roman Catholics really have this kind of attitude. And honestly, it's kind of upsetting. You know, if I go to a Baptist church, I do go to a Baptist church. There's going to be some people out there who fall, because the Bible teaches that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. People who are saved Christians, even them, they will commit sin outwardly, because the Bible teaches that we're saved inwardly, that it's the inward man that's born of God. It's the spirit that's born of God, not the flesh, that the flesh still has the possibility of falling into sin. But there's still the great difference I see in Baptist churches from the attitude of Catholics, that they can just get away with whatever they want because, well, I'll just go to church next week. I'll take the body and the blood of Christ. That'll forgive my venial sins. Then I'll confess my mortal sins to the priest. I'll do the prayers and all that. I'll do all these works of mercy and all things like that, and then I'll be fine. That's what Catholics believe. And it's really unfortunate, honestly. So that's it for this video. I actually have a guy right here. I'm pretty sure he's a troll. So I'm just going to block him. Can gay people go to heaven? No. Thoughts on black people. They're people who are black. I don't know. Goodbye. So thank you everybody for watching and goodbye. I'd use her on this channel. Okay, there we go. All right. Thank you everybody for watching. If you have any questions, feel free to ask in the comment section below. Goodbye.